So today in Israel, there's a bit of a controversy brewing within the army, within the Hesder world, within Yeshivat Har Etzion, as one of the leading yeshivas of the Hesder world, the flagship yeshiva of the Hesder world. And it's a microcosm of a lot of the crosswinds and pressures and counterpressures we face in Israel, at least in the national religious world, that a lot of people who live outside of Israel either are totally unaware of. They don't make headlines often outside of Israel, although they are consuming the headlines in Israel. And even people who are aware of it may not be fully aware and fully familiar of all the consequences and nuances and connotations of this issue and how it reflects the very delicate balancing, the very delicate juggling act we have to perform in Israel. So let me first describe what happened. You may not be aware, probably not aware of what happened, and then I'll try to highlight some of the impact and the consequence of this story and the conflicting values we're trying to get right and trying to calibrate. About 4 or 5 months ago, the army requested of Yeshivat Har Etzion, and Yeshivat Har Etzion is for the army and for the state in general, very, very important yeshiva. We're well known. We're the one of the oldest Hesder yeshivas. The Rabbanim here are national personalities, Rav Meidan in particular, very, very well respected in the country, very well respected in the army. And as I'll discuss a little bit later, we're called, I don't like these terminologies, but we're called the more moderate section of religious Zionism. What I think they refer to, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, is people who are very wary of creating confrontation and conflict and adversarial relations with the army, which sometimes flares in certain sectors of the national religious world in Israel. Anyway, the army came to us and they requested that our students join what's called Shuryon. Shuryon are tank units. Tank units are not the most popular units. You can well imagine boys would rather serve in infantry, Givati, Divani, Golani. They would rather serve in paratroopers units. They'd rather serve in field intelligence. They're not necessarily interested in entering Shuryon. But there was a deficiency of manpower. There's a lack of manpower, lack of soldiers in Shuryon. And in particular, they needed officers in tank units. And a lot of Gush boys go on to be officers. And there's a high, high percentage, I think one of the highest in Israel, of Gush Tamidim who choose to be what are called Ktsinim. So this is a request by the army and entailed sacrifice and what's what I'm looking for? Idealism. So we rallied our Talmidim, our Israeli Talmidim, primarily some Americans joined as well, some overseas students, but primarily our Israeli Talmidim. We encouraged them to accept this offer of the army. The army couldn't force it upon them, but to accept the offer, and they gladly rose to the occasion because it's our army and it's our people. And if the army needs us to serve in tank units, we will. And if the army needs us to be officers in tank units, we will. Everything was going well until a few days ago. It was discovered that the officers' training courses for these boys in tank units were now going to be mixed with girls. The army just finished a pilot in which it spent 2 years determining whether girls could serve in tank units and could serve as officers in tank units. And when this pilot was successful from the army's perspective, so now the army wants to combine these courses. Now, again, the facts are still emerging, but at least these are the facts as we know it. And the army suddenly announced that officer training courses will now be mixed, boys and girls. Now, we can't allow this to happen, right? It's not just sitting next to girls in a classroom, but sitting next to a girl in a tank this cannot be accepted for someone who, of course, is Shomer Halacha and Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So last night, our Rosh Yeshiva Rav Meidan sent a letter to our Talmidim. And we knew full well that once this letter was sent out, the news would pick up on the letter. And it has picked up on the letter, and now it's all over the news. Expressing, first of all, our deep regret because we were a bit complicit in this unintentionally, but we encouraged our Talmidim to join the Shuryon, the tank units. And apologizing to them because they can no longer enter officer training courses, and announcing that at this point we can no longer continue to send our Talmidim to tank units. We'll continue to send them to the army. We'll continue to send them to other units. But being that so many of our Talmidim want to be officers, Baruch Hashem, and the officer training courses are complicated and halachically complicated, we can no longer send talmidim to these units. And it wasn't said in an adversarial way. And the letter ended by saying, we will continue to support our army. It is our army. We'll do our best. But we still have to navigate our responsibilities to the army with our halachic obligations. Now, what's the larger picture here? Well, there are two layers to the larger picture. The larger picture, the first layer, is the one that's probably the most obvious, and that is the challenges that boys in Brooklyn, Teaneck, and the five towns don't face. Is we're trying to, or boys that even who live in Eretz Yisrael, who are not serving in the army while combining army service with Torah studies, that we feel that for our young men, this is an ideal way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's so many ways and complications, and it makes life much more difficult than it would be if you created a community or an approach that was pivoted on one value. And sometimes, unfortunately, people who pursue multiple values lose sight of the primacy of certain values over other values. And obviously, Shmiras Torah and Mitzvot and Shmiras Halacha is the paramount value. And as long as army service can be framed in a way that's consistent with halacha, then of course we want to serve in the army. But at the point in which it simply invites halachic complications, halachic problems, halachic yisurim, then obviously we have to withdraw, as painful as it is. And this is in no way meant to be disrespectful to the army or civil disobedience or any form of rebellion against what the army represents. It's just that at this point, and it's the type of struggle that many people may not be aware of. And it's natural anytime you create a universe or formula with multiple variables or multiple values, sometimes those values will conflict. And in life, the challenge is getting it right, knowing which value is paramount and which value is secondary. And so often, it's in those areas that we make our largest mistakes, our most grievous errors, that we prioritize one value, the wrong value. They're all good values. None of these values are toxic. None of these values are sinister or evil. But what happens when two good values clash? Do we have the good sense to know which is the most important value in growth and development and communities? And this is an example where obviously we got it right. The larger issue, which I'm not sure people outside of Israel are sufficiently sensitive to, is that in the national religious world that I live in, I don't like to say that I'm a national religious Jew, I'm an Oved Hashem, but I choose to live in this world, there really are two different currents. And one of the dividing lines or differences between those currents is what I like to call institutionalism. Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, the way I observe them, were institutionalists. Namely, it's our country, it's our army, it's our police force. We're full-fledged partners in this enterprise. We have values that maybe secular Zionists don't share, and vice versa. And when our values are compromised, we have to make a stand and defend those values and perhaps take a pass on involvement in certain sectors of Israeli life, and in this case, in certain sectors of army life, but never to the point that we vilify or criminalize secular Jews, secular Zionists, secular institutions, certainly not armies, certainly not. As vociferous as the conversation becomes, and as vitriolic and as harsh and stiff as our opposition is to values that are foreign to us, there should always be an air of partnership. And even in this letter, which was a very dramatic letter and it's causing a lot of ruffles through the army, the letter ended, as I alluded to earlier, by saying this is our army and this is in no way meant to disparage or to villainize the army. The army made a decision we disagree with. We felt that it was a little bit of a surprise, that they deceived us possibly. And in any working situation, sometimes lack of communication can create misconceptions and frustration, and we're very frustrated by the situation. But in no way, shape, or form should this incident lead to creating hostility towards the army, even if we have disagreements and even if we have to redefine our cooperative relationship and our collaboration with the army and not send boys to tank units. And then there are other ranks and other streams in the national religious world. Some people like to divide those streams into kavnikim. Kav means a line, and that refers to a lot of the yeshivos that are directly inspired by Rav Kook's Talmidim. And the other strain in Israeli Dati Lumi life is called Gushnikim, because Gushnis has such a strong influence in so many yeshivas and communities and sectors and ways of thinking. And I think one of the dividing lines is that I think some Kavnikim crossed that line. And when secular Zionism, secular Zionist culture, secular Zionist institutions pursue agendas that are inconsistent with religion or even anti-religious, that leads to confrontationalism, that leads to detachment, disconnecting from this partnership and viewing them as the other, as the enemy. And of course, we saw it in very, very extreme and violent terms: hostility towards soldiers, hostility towards policemen, hostility towards government officials, rather than appreciating and maintaining the partnership, even if there'll be points of disagreement, harsh disagreement. And I think that's why this is such an event. Had other Rabbanim encouraged their Talmidim not to join tank units, it would have been consistent with an overall voice that some of the Rabbanim give their Talmidim of disobeying orders, not only when the orders violate direct halacha, but disobeying orders if they're inconsistent with political opinions, or disobeying order, which I think is toxic for army life. And when someone like Rav Meidan and yeshiva like Yeshivat Har Etzion, and now the overall Hesder, it's called the Igud Yeshivot Hesder, the umbrella organization that coordinates all of Hesder activities, launched this protest, it resonates in a way that's very different, because this is not a voice it's not an adversarial voice, it's not an enemy voice. This is a voice that the army and the larger public knows to be a voice of a conciliatory voice and a collaborative voice and a voice of cooperation and partnership. And yet we're drawing our red line in the sand and saying, we're your partners, but this is an area of our partnership that we can't participate in. And that to me is the larger narrative here. How can we obviously balance between values, obviously preserve halacha and Torah and mitzvot as the supreme value and protect it when it's being threatened, even at the cost of participating in larger Zionist events and agendas? But even when we draw that red line and protect halacha, how can we voice it in a way that doesn't rupture the relationship but maintains it, even while we're defending, even aggressively defending our values? So there are a lot of crosswinds today in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure how much of it will make it back to the United States and other Jewish communities around the world. But it's, as I said before, it's a microcosm of some of the issues we struggle with and some of the dangers we face if we cross that line and create adversarial relationships rather than what we hope to be a long-term partnership leading to a larger redemptive conclusion.